What's up, sisters and friends? Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you're getting a great start to your week. This is a good way to start your week because I have one of my best friends on the podcast today, and I'm so excited for you guys to get to know her more. If you've ever heard of Gracie's Milkshake Bar in Nashville or seen it on Instagram, I'm sure you've had it. They are the epic milkshakes that everyone wants to go and get one day. That is my friend, y'all, who started that. Gracie herself is in the house, and I'm so excited that she's here to talk about her life, tell her story, and I just know y'all are gonna learn so much and love her so much. So Gracie, thanks for being on the podcast.
Of course, thanks for having me.
This is so fun. And literally last night we were talking about all the things that you do and are a part of, and I was just like, you are the most interesting, incredible person that I know, and I'm so excited, and you don't even know it. That's the thing about you. It's like, you're like, oh yeah, I'm doing this, it's like so casual, and I'm like, no, that's like really cool. Like, wow. You're just like humbly amazing. And so I can't wait for people to get to know you more.
That's so really fun. Sweet. I'm glad I'm here too. And yeah, I feel like you saying that even is just fun because I feel the same way about you. You know, so I feel sweet. Like I've told you before, you're interesting because you're interested. And so I'm like, wow, I love that I'm here.
That's cool. Oh, man. And we also, this is kind of funny because I don't think that we look alike. I mean, you have blonde hair, blue eyes. I have brown hair, brown eyes. But when I have blonde hair, people like mistaked us for each other all the time in Nashville. It was actually so weird. And it was weird too because people didn't even know we were roommates and like best friends. But people would come up to Gracie and ask her if she was me. And because Gracie's real known in the Franklin streets, people would come up to me and be like, do you know Gracie Tucker? And it was just funny. But I think it's our personality. I think it's more how we carry ourselves and how we act than more of what we look like.
Definitely. And I always think it's interesting too because it doesn't matter like, didn't people think you and Lainey were sisters?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and people never think that me and my sister Sarah are sisters. But, it's totally, like, the personality
thing.
That's
how you act.
Because people would say that, and I'd be like, we don't look like that much. But I was still like,
I was taking the compliment. Gracie was a model at the time. I was like, okay, I look like Gracie Tucker. Yeah, I'll take it.
We take it both ways.
I know. It's so funny. So for those who don't know, we did get to be roommates in Nashville, and it was so much fun. On a level of 1 to 10, how weird were we?
Well, you know, at the time, I didn't know at all.
No, I didn't think that
I thought we
were
the most normal people ever.
Yeah.
But hindsight, weird in a good way. I'm going to give us like an 8.5.
8.5 is solid.
Because, like, whenever we met our landlord and he was asking us our jobs, we're like, oh, like, we are all employed. We're solid. Sage is a speaker and a writer and an actor. And Lainey, she does music and dancing. Sarah owns a store. And I was like, and I'm a model. And, like, hindsight, I'm like,
We
those
all
are all
were,
fake
like,
jobs.
Like, entrepreneur. Like, we all had a lot of dreams and visions, but not much execution yet.
Yeah, we were getting there. But, like, hindsight, we were all working, doing our thing. But we had a lot of free time.
We had a lot
which
of
was so fun. And, like, one thing I will always remember is how much watermelon we ate. Like,
oh my
gosh. Do you remember
that made us weird? We went to Sonic every day and got large ice waters with extra ice and extra lemon, and we would put stevia in it. Weird. That was Lainey. That was Lainey. And then we would go get watermelon from Publix, like massive watermelon. We just crack it open, we'd all get a spoon, put some salt on it, and just
healthy girls.
We ate so much watermelon.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
What do you remember from living together? Because that and playing basketball.
Oh, so much basketball. Which the funny thing about basketball is, so out of me, Sarah, Gracie, and Lainey, me and Gracie were definitely more of like the ball players.
Yeah.
But none of us like we weren't that great. Okay. No. Like I did play basketball competitively. I'm a good basketball player. You are a good basketball player. But all together, we were not good. So me and Lainey against you and Sarah. And it was just hilarious because despite how good we were or not good we were, we gave it everything. We were all on the floor the whole game.
Yeah.
Knee burns. Yeah. Like, I mean, and that's, I think when I think about our friendship, we were just all in, like full out all in. And I think about, I immediately think about us running around the kitchen table like every night. We just start doing laps because of like praise or whatever happened that day, and we would dance so much. But I specifically remember one night sitting out on the balcony with y'all when we just moved into our new apartment.
Yeah.
And we were like eating tacos. And I remember one of us started it and we're like, this is the sweetest season ever.
Yeah.
And we all agreed. And I do remember it being marked by just like a sweetness. Like
yeah.
our friendship was sweet. And we'd actually all come from not having a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And then discovering like healthy friendship.
Yeah.
So that was really powerful. So talk to us a little bit about where you were at before we met, because you were literally in high school when we met.
Yeah.
What did your life look like?
That is crazy. Also, I remember like the first day that we met, me, you, Sarah, and Lainey went to San Anejo.
Our favorite restaurant.
Yes, it's so good. But I vividly remember like I didn't know you guys at all. And I was kind of coming in as like Sarah's little sister because I was in high school. And I remember trying to pace myself eating the guac. Like I remember
yeah?
thinking like, chill, girl.
Don't
like,
go too strong.
I can go strong and fast. And so that's like, I just remember being like, all right, yourself.
We thought you were so cool because you had those like hipster glasses on.
I was hipster.
You were hipster. You were very hipster.
I was a little bit grungy. Yeah.
Grungy
but
hipster.
Before we met, yeah, I was in high school. And then I think like maybe I had just graduated or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of in the in-between where trying to figure out, did I want to go to college? Or I thought about YWAM. And then I also was thinking about doing modeling because I had some people say like, oh, you might be good at that and like it. Like, I got tall all of a sudden, like my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up going with modeling. And I think we kind of became friends. And then you went on tour, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I moved to Greece for a little bit.
To model.
Yeah,
you
to
went,
model.
Yeah, you actually started getting opportunities and going for it.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so in that time, that was like, you met me right kind of, I would say, in the zone, like right before I really became like a woman, if that makes
yep.
sense. Like, that sounds weird to say, but I remember being like a kid going to Greece, coming back, and I was different.
You were so different. I remember
yeah.
that. You went from like Sarah's little sister to like, oh, like you're hanging with us, like
yeah.
one of our friends. And I mean, going to Greece and moving there by yourself, like that will really mature you. Were you scared when you went?
So I wasn't. I always do this thing where I'm never really nervous. It takes a lot, but I should be nervous.
That's
so
true.
So leading up, I was like, no, I'm not nervous. Like, my mom was crying. She's like, bye, Gracie. And it was maybe 2.5 months, so not that long, but long enough when you're 18, okay?
Yep.
And I was like, Mom, it's going to be fine. Like, whatever. And then I'm like, my dad flew over there to make sure it was, like, legit,
mm-hmm.
just to be extra safe. And then whenever I actually started living there, it hit me. I was like, oh, no.
Like, I live in Greece.
I said, I'm nervous. Like, it all hit me at once.
Yeah.
Because it was like, no nerves, just having fun. I'm going to live in Greece, whatever. And I had never been homesick before that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I lived over there, I was so homesick because mm-hmm. all my roommates didn't speak English.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't speak Greek either, but they were from Russia and they were so nice, so kind. But I cannot speak Russian at all. Like, Spanish, you can kind of get it. Russian, I was like,
no, you're done. You're
yeah.
toast.
And so it was really good, and I wasn't nervous. But then when I got there, it kind of like all hit me at once in a way.
Yeah. Y'all, I love summertime. It is my favorite season, and I'm so excited to jump back in. We are approaching the best time of the year. But no matter what your summer looks like, KiwiCo invites kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first summer adventure series. Kids can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks, no matter what their age is, with enriching activities that accompany each project. KiwiCo has something for everyone, with different topics for each age, from space to dinosaurs and so much more. I am so excited about the summer series. We actually are getting this little driver that I know Haven is going to love because it's a little steering wheel and she loves anything active. And also a little like neighborhood fun one where they have a water paint thing, which is so good because it's not going to make a mess. And Honey is so into painting right now. And painting with a 3-year-old, yeah, that's just hard. So I'm excited for the no mess. KiwiCo offers kids a chance to get outside and explore screen-free with projects like the Bottle Rocket Kit from the Summer Adventure Series. They can turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. Every Summer Adventure Series with KiwiCo is a personalized experience that includes real engineering, science, and art projects. And you'll be impressed with how high quality all the materials are. Everything we've gotten from KiwiCo has been absolutely amazing and such high quality. I know sometimes it can be hard to find creative, engaging ways to keep your kids away from the screens and just having fun, but KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can focus on spending fun and quality time tackling projects together. The KiwiCo Summer Adventure Series is personalized to your family and can be received all at once or weekly for 6 weeks, depending on your schedule. If you like it all at once, that's great, or space it out a little bit. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/SadieRobSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo, KIWICO.com/SadieRobSummer. Spring is a great time to start something new, right? So whether it's cleaning or a new hobby or a new audiobook, a good story is always a great way to start a new journey, and Audible has all that you need. I come from a family of great storytellers, so I know Audible is the home of storytelling, which is where I want to be. Audible lets you enjoy all your favorite audio entertainment together in one app. There's always something new to discover, or you can rediscover some of your old favorites. Audible has an incredible selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestseller, new releases, memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, business and more. It is the destination for mind-blowing entertainment with selections of mystery and thrillers that will keep your heart racing. And with next listen recommendations, there's always something irresistible at your fingertips. Plus, members get full access to a huge and growing selection of included audiobooks and Audible originals and even podcasts like Well That's Good. So you can download them or stream them anytime, anywhere. Audible members can also pick one title each month to keep from the entire catalog, which is some serious benefits, y'all. The newly included selection of titles makes your Audible membership even more valuable and gives you the chance to discover your next favorite thing. With thousands of titles available, you're definitely going to find something that you love all in one convenient app. So I know some of you are into, you know, thrillers, crime, mystery, and I gotta be honest, that's not really been my thing. So I told Bella, okay, Bella, tell me what I could like listen to that wouldn't scare me, but I would like be into it. And she told me about this title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And so I started it, and John Luke loved it too. And so I'm just now on the cusp of it. And y'all, let me tell you, it is very entertaining. You do want to listen to see what happened next. So if y'all are into that, Audible is a great place to find those too. New members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500. That's Audible, audible.com/woe, or text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days.
And I remember, this sounds so sad, but I think everyone's been there, but I remember like kind of low point is that I cried in the shower so no one would hear me.
Oh, that's like, so sad. Everyone has been there.
Yeah, everyone's been there.
Yep.
But like I came back different because honestly living there, it was a decision like, because sometimes whenever you do modeling, they have like promoters for bars and stuff. And so you get to go everywhere for free.
Wow.
And so they would come back, hey, like which girls want to go? Like drinks are on us, everything. And like something in me just said like, oh no, I'll stay home. Like,
yeah.
I really think it was grace because I didn't have like the relationship with Jesus at that point in my life to where I was saying no for a reason besides like, oh, I just said no. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why I said no.
Yeah.
And I know you have stories like that where you're like, I just said no and I didn't even know why.
Yeah.
But that was definitely God's grace. But yeah. Living over there is where I got to know Jesus because I had so much time.
Wow.
And 10-hour difference from the U.S. So, you know, you're not really calling your friends on the phone because it's nighttime.
Yep. I do think that that is, like, so true for so many people.
Yeah.
Like, I know people say, like, college is a time of your life where a lot of people just kind of go crazy. But I also think that can be a time of your life where you really get to seek the Lord and know Him. Because, like, for me, I have a similar story where when I went to Austria at 13 by myself, which you don't have to be this dramatic to meet the Lord.
Yeah, you don't have to go to another country.
To another country. This just happened to be both of our stories. And I actually went to play basketball.
Yeah.
And when I'm over there, I did not know anybody. All my roommates were, which this is not as dramatic as being from Russia, but they're all from the north.
Yeah.
And it was a lot different than the south.
Totally.
And they had a lot different language than I did and beliefs than I did. And I remember every night we would all go to the party because Team USA had to be represented at these parties. So we go and whatnot, and every night I was just like, I don't want to do this. Like, I just, and it wasn't because I couldn't. It wasn't because my parents were there telling me not to. My parents weren't there. I was by myself, but I was just like, I don't want to do that. And so I was hit by the door, and that is where my relationship with Jesus started because I realized, like, I actually desire something better. Like, I desire something more full and more fulfilling. And I found that in God, and that was at 13. And then I think about all the things that has happened since then, and that just kind of started me out like on a good footing. And I think that sometimes it's not about going to a different country. It's about being by yourself, and it's about like making your faith your own. It's no longer your parents. It's no longer your sister. It's no longer because that's what school I go to, or that's what town I'm from. Yeah. It's like I'm in Greece. I can do whatever I want, but something in me is like stirring for something better.
Yeah, you kind of hit it and you're like, okay, I either believe this or I don't.
Yeah.
You know, you have to make a decision sometimes, especially when you're alone.
It's so true. So after you were in Greece, you kept modeling for a little while.
Yeah.
And you liked it, but when was it that you realized like this is not really what I'm gonna do? I remember specifically Miami Swim Week.
Yeah, that was like the moment when, and actually like there's a cool connection there, which I'm excited to tell you because it just kind of hit me. I'm like, oh, snap. So, yeah, I modeled for like 2 more years on and off, and it was really fun. But also, like, the more that I got to know Jesus, just I don't think modeling's bad, but my heart changed. Like, my highest goal went from I want to model for this company to, like, I want to find what God has for my life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't there before. Like, that wasn't what I was looking for in life. So I modeled for a couple of years and it was really fun and exciting and what I thought I wanted to do. Then I went to Miami Swim Week and we were living together at this time.
Yeah, I remember this. This was hard.
Yeah, it was hard. And so I went to Swim Week and pretty much like what I was used to is going to a single casting event, couple people in a room. This was lines of hundreds of girls and you wear your swimsuit and you walk in and they give you 1 second of their time and they just look at you and it's like, yes, no.
In your swimsuit.
In
like,
your
that's
swimsuit.
So vulnerable.
And you're just, like, in a line of hundreds, literally, of women in their swimsuits, and you just walk in, these people dismiss you or validate you just on how you look with no clothes on. I'm like, that's just...
Dang.
It kind of hit me. Like, in Miami, I ended up leaving Swim Week early because I was like, there has to be something more, was kind of my idea of, like, is this what I want for my life?
Yeah.
You know, in 50 years, is this what I'm going to wish I spent my 20s on? And I didn't think that it was.
Wow. It's a big question to ask yourself. I actually think that's a good question to note for anyone listening. Like, in 50 years, when I look back at my life, when I'm a grandma and have kids, is this what I want my 20s to be defined as? Whatever that looks like for you, whether it's in a swimsuit or it's you're partying or the job, whatever it is, you know?
Or even, like, sometimes I have a niece now, and I look at her, and I think, like, or about your grandkids, if you want to think, like, whatever helps you, like, would I want this for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes I think we do things to ourselves or say things to ourselves that we would never want somebody we love to say about themselves or do.
Oh, yeah. It's really true.
Yeah, so I ended up quitting that, and then I worked for Sarah, my sister, for, like, a year maybe. And I worked random jobs, too. Like, when I look back, I was kind of like Kurt on
that
Gilmore Girls.
That is what I love about you, though. That is what I love about you. And that is something that I think everybody can learn from. Is like, when you say, like, is this really what I want to be doing? It's not that, like, you have to know, oh, I'm going to do this and I need to start this now. You worked at the cookie shop.
Yeah.
You worked at Sarah's store. You worked at
White's. I worked
all
at Living
kinds
Franklin.
Of places.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. Like, I think that that's part of the journey is like doing these things and putting tools in your toolbox that are getting you to where you're going. So it's not like after modeling, you're like, oh, now I know exactly what to do with my life. It's just that modeling wasn't even going in the direction of where you were wanting to go with your life.
Yeah.
And so you were starting to get more on the track. But
totally.
I have to ask you before we get off modeling, did that affect you as far as like your body image and like, is it something that made you insecure or were you just more like, you know what, to guard my heart, I don't actually want to do this?
Yeah, I think it was more a guard my heart thing. But I will say, like, looking back, there were things that, like, my agents would say to me where I was like, that's not okay. Like, I didn't know in the moment, but I was already so thin. And they would be like, you need to lose 5 pounds this week. And I'd be like, okay. I'm like, I said okay.
Dang.
It's just crazy when you look back. At different things, but a crazy thing about the swim week thing was while I was there, Sarah went with me, and she was like, Greasy, just apply for some random job. So I applied to Happily Gray. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I applied to be like some sort of assistant or something. I would have been terrible at it, but I still like tried something. Like it was the hope of having something like modeling's not it. There's something else. Like,
that's
I'm going to find
actually.
It. And then now, like, you know this, but the milkshake bar, is in the same building as Happily Gray.
Like, that's crazy.
Literally 5 years later, and she doesn't even know. She's awesome, but she has no idea that I applied at like
you need
a pivotal
to tell
moment
her that.
In my life. I
that's
know, I
do. Crazy. Oh my
I'll
gosh.
I'll tell her if she doesn't hear like this, I'll tell her.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, now you have the milkshake bar, but to jump from modeling and working at the, what was the yogurt place called with the cookies?
Sweet
Cece's. Sweet Cece's, yeah. And whites and all these different things. Okay, so you go from that to now owning a milkshake bar, which is a crazy jump.
Yeah.
But the story of how you got there is actually really crazy. So talk to us about when you were in New York and kind of what happened there.
Yeah, wow. Okay, I'm loving talking about all this too because it's so good to look back because things always make sense
later.
When you look back. You're like, oh, that's so clear.
Yeah.
But another modeling trip, Sarah and I were in New York, and I had all these big meetings, and it was whatever. But they didn't go super well, and so I was super discouraged because I was like, I thought this was what I was supposed to do. I was trying a different market, like New York instead of Miami, and they just were not good.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I look back, it's just God's grace again, because if I would have gotten that, I wouldn't even like have the people in my life that are in my life now.
Yeah.
But pretty much they went bad. So Sarah and I were like, let's go get milkshakes.
All right, well, that's good, fam. I have some super exciting news. We are nominated for another K-Love Fan Award, which is just absolutely incredible. It is a huge honor to even be nominated amongst so many amazing podcasters. So guys, we need to see the support. You guys already support us in so many ways by listening to this podcast, sharing on social media, even just listening means the world. But if you would go to KLoveFanAwards.com and vote for the Well That's Good podcast to win this award, it would mean so much to me. I'm just so grateful for you as a listener. And also, huge news too, my family's movie, The Blind, is nominated for Movie of the Year. So we are just celebrating this, that we get to even go to the K-Love Awards together. I'm hosting this year, already just a huge honor. But if you would do that and vote for Well That's Good podcast and also The Blind, it would mean so much to our family. Thank you guys so much. Y'all are the absolute best.
So we go to this place called Black Tap in New York, and we get milkshakes, and they're cool and fun and crazy. They're just like ours, but a different menu. So we get shakes, and then fast forward, no thoughts there, just eating ice cream. So go back to Franklin, and then Sarah and I are just walking. She's like, Gracie, what do you want to do now? Because I quit modeling, and I was working all these jobs, but I didn't really want to have, like, four jobs forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I thought.
Kind of, that's kind of funny because you still kind of do that.
I know, I always do that. I think that's going to be forever. Maybe I do want four jobs at a time. But she was like, you should open an ice cream shop like that place that we went to in New York. Like, that was cool and you would be good at that because I've always loved, like, culinary arts, cooking, ice cream, like, fun things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the idea came from. And then, I mean, we were living together. I was, like, drawing milkshakes on the counter.
It's crazy.
And then I still remember, like, testing the menu, everything, and then I would give them to you and Clayton.
Oh, yeah. That was the best time. Because Gracie would, like, try all her milkshakes out on us, and we were, like, gladly. But I have to tell the story about the whole milkshake bar thing, too, because Gracie is, like, the most, like I said, humbly amazing person to where she'll be doing all these things and you never know it. And so we literally live together, okay?
Yeah.
Which y'all would say this stuff to me. Like, you'll be like, how's your day? And I'd be like, it's good. And they're like, and then y'all be like, what do you mean by good? And I was like, oh, so, you know, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, tell us what you did. And I'd be like, oh. And then I'd tell y'all and I'd be like, that's amazing. Why didn't you tell us? And I would just kind of like not share everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I got better at that because y'all helped me. But you were like the same way.
Yeah,
so Gracie would like draw these milkshakes, but I didn't even honestly notice. Like, I guess I doodle too. So I wasn't like thinking about the fact that you're drawing milkshakes. And I don't even know that you ever said, hey, look at this. Like, or this is a passion.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't think you ever said that.
Yeah.
You just drew milkshakes. And so then one day, and I didn't know about the, like, Sarah saying that to you. Like, you never shared any of that.
Yeah.
Which we were really close to. So
I
this
know.
Is not like this couldn't
like,
have been
details,
brought up.
Gracie.
Details.
Now I ask you what you had for breakfast.
I know.
I'm like,
you literally did this morning. Like, what do you eat for breakfast these days? But yeah, I guess we just didn't share as much. And then one day I'm cooking dinner, which is kind of rare, and that's why it sticks out to me. And you were sitting on the countertop and you go, hey, by the way, I think we got that space in what is it, L&L Market. And I was like, oh, great. Thinking you're talking about Sarah, because Sarah, her sister has a store called Imago Dei. And I was like, oh, Sarah got a location. And because I knew Sarah was like pursuing that.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I did. And I said, for what? I'm like, what? What are you doing with the space? You're like, for the milkshake bar. You're like, have I not told you about Gracie's milkshake bar? And I'm like, no, never been mentioned. And you're like, oh, you know those milkshakes I draw, and you go get them all. And you're like showing me. And it's like not just like doodles. It's like very well done drawings of specific milkshakes with a menu beside it. And like, this is the this shake and this is the that shake. And I was just like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is like legit. So from that point on, you start, your dad's so sweet. He built you your milkshake bar.
Awesome.
Like, it was like so like grassroots, like so sweet.
Yeah.
And then you start testing milkshakes. I didn't even know like I've ever been with you to drink a milkshake. Like, it wasn't like that was something that was like talked about.
No, it wasn't the norm. Yeah.
And you start testing them and you just go for it. And I want to ask you, because that's like a big thing to go for. Like, you have a, you have like legitimate space in a big marketplace in Nashville where you're like owning a full business, having milkshakes and fries. And before then, you were not doing anything like that. So how did you have like even the courage to start doing that? Or was it something that God like led you into? How did you even believe in yourself enough to do it? Because I think a lot of people listening, like, they have dreams to do these things, but they're doing milkshakes and they're like, well, I'm probably never going to make a milkshake bar. Maybe when I'm 40 or something.
Yeah.
But you were how old? Like 20?
I think I was like 19.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know if you were 20 when you started it.
Yeah.
And you didn't know, I mean, a whole lot about business. Like, how did you even have the courage to start that?
Yeah. Well, okay, my dad was a huge help. So my dad's a businessman. He's awesome. So kind. And my parents really encouraged me and my brothers and sister. So we're very different, all three of us. You know my family.
Y'all are.
But my brother's like super book smart. He's literally a genius. I'm like, I do not know how he does anything. And then Sarah's just like fashionable and cool. And then we were all different. So they kind of let us be different, which was such
a gift
and a treat. So they always encouraged us to do different things. But as far as that's like business side, my dad helped me. And YouTube. I YouTube everything.
You do.
I do. So YouTube definitely helps with learning stuff. But I think when it comes to the courage part, and I feel like you're like this, and a lot of like people who I really look up to are like this, where I don't, it's not that I have some crazy belief in myself. I feel like I just believe that whatever God has for my life, he's going to bring, you know, into my life, and it's going to work or it's not. But I'm going to keep trying things because what do I have to lose? You know what I mean? Like,
it's good.
I think a lot of the line is like, if you just tried, maybe you could do it. Because I think I try a lot of things, and you know this, and maybe we'll go into it later, but I'm willing to try things because in a way, it's almost like the only thing I have to lose is pride and being embarrassed. And if I just decide that I'm not embarrassed, then
you're willing
to
fail.
You can go for things, yeah.
And I think that, like, a lot of the fear that stops us from doing something is pride. It's the fear of failure. And I think, you know, you have to know it's okay to fail. It's okay to, like, everyone's gonna fail. I mean, I look at my life, and even though a lot of what I've done because of God's grace has succeeded, there's a lot of things I've done too that just haven't worked. And that didn't knock me down. That made me go, okay, where do I need to shift? Where do I need to pivot? What do I need to learn more so that that doesn't happen again, so I can grow in that? And each of those moments has grown me, or it's shifted my direction and where I really should be going. Like you said, those modeling things weren't going great in New York, and you could have looked at that as like a failure, or like, man, like, I didn't do this. But instead, it was like, okay, hey, this is just isn't it. Then God, like, what do you have for me? So instead of looking at something as like a, oh man, like, I'm defeated, it's like, okay, God, if this isn't it, then what's next? And man, like, you've gone in, and obviously, like, you've had the team to help you. But also, like, your creativity has just like been able to be on full display there. Like, you actually did have all that you needed to do what God was calling you to do, even though it didn't look like it on the surface, you know? And so I think if God's like put something inside of you, just trusting that he has put it all in you to start to do it, to start doing it. And that doesn't mean it's all gonna be there right here, right now. You're gonna grow into that for the rest of your life. But if you feel the peace to go, then you can go and he'll figure out the rest. It's like Moses, when God called Moses, go lead an entire generation out of slavery. And Moses is like, okay, a couple problems with this. I do not know how to speak well.
Yeah.
I got all these things. And God's like, no, go. You have all that you need.
Yeah.
And I always think about that. Like, we need a lot less than we think we do to say yes to God.
Yeah.
You really just need faith, you know?
And that's what it was, too. Like, I, with all these situations, like, ask God. And I feel like if you're listening and you, like, learn to hear his voice, he says yes and no. Or, like, try and he'll show you. Like, as long as you're trying to follow God, like, the path is going to lead to him.
That's so true.
Like, yeah, you want to be successful, but really you just want to be, like, with God and doing what he wants you to do. And that is success.
That's so
true. Because I feel like you could go after it, but... You know in your heart sometimes, I feel like the little pull, if you're doing like...
You know.
It's hard to describe, but you really do know.
You do. It's the Holy Spirit, but it's like a gut feeling inside of you that's like, this is not right. And when I know it's not right is when I'm trying to over-explain or justify or like give you all the reasons. And I'm like, why am I trying to... I'm trying to convince myself and almost trying to convince God why this is a good thing.
Yeah.
But like every time, it's like whenever I push those things, it's like... It's very obvious very quickly that's not it. But here's the good thing about God and his grace is like, even in that, you're not going to mess it up. If you start stepping forward and you realize this is not right and you pivot back or repent or turn the other way, like you're not going to mess up his plan for your life. Like there is margin in our life to have moments of failure, to have moments of mistake, and to still get back up and keep going.
Yeah.
And I think like that's just such a beautiful thing. But it's true, Gracie, that you do still have four jobs and you do a lot of things and you always are diving into new things that are just so random. And you genuinely do YouTube so much.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about the things that you have going on, because I think it's so funny. Like, the other day you sent us this country song that was so good. And you're like, by the way, I wrote it because I write country songs now. Like, what the heck? Like what gives you that inside of you that just keeps wanting to start trying new things and tell us the new things?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Side note, though, about like, I'm glad that I'm telling you guys while I'm doing it now, though.
You are.
I think I was struggling with pride in years past where I was like not telling people things till it was done because I was scared that it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And so I was like, it's better just not to tell anybody. Then I'll surprise them and they'll be like, awesome.
Yes. We're on the journey now. And I love the journey.
It's fun.
Because it's so cool. And it's cool to see like how God is going to like weave these things in you. Because when you're like, I'm going to write a country song and I'm like, do you know anything about country music?
Yeah.
And then you write the song and I'm like, dang, that's actually really good.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So the crazy random things and... They're my jobs, but I haven't made money off them yet. But you never know what's going to stick.
That's
right. I have lots of seeds in the ground and like, hopefully be some flowers one day. I'll look back. But yeah, writing country songs. So all these things kind of start because I have this bucket list that I wrote. And I'm like, okay, I want to try to do these because there's no guarantee that I'm going to live till I'm 80. So I'm like, okay, I want to start now.
It's good.
And like, because really this sounds like a little bit dark, but you could die tomorrow. I'm like, why do people act like they get to live forever? I'm like, no. So I made a bucket list. And all these, like, some of them are outrageous. Like, I really can't do that. I can't do them right now.
Give us one outrageous one.
Okay. One outrageous. So one is all seven continents. That's not, like, outrageous, but it's, like,
but Antarctica's hard
outrageous.
To get to.
Yeah, let's like outrageous. One that would be outrageous is that I want to be in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but like not like be in it, like because I don't think that's really in the cards. But like I want to hold a balloon or something. Like,
oh, you got that one.
I think
one.
There's a list.
You got
there's
that.
There's
got
to be a list where you sign
there's
up.
There's got to be.
That's volunteer based.
That's a Google search right after this.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sure there's a worse one, but I'd have to look at the list.
That's good. But some of them you actually are doing now.
Yes. So that led me to writing a country song. And my friend Jonathan and my brother-in-law Martin, they helped me. I was like, I told you this. It was where I told Steph. It was a car without wheels. Like my song was going nowhere. I just had pretty much a poem. But I was watching this Dolly Parton documentary with my mom. And she was just writing these songs. And I'm not like that. But I was like, I could write a song. I was like, I bet I could if I figured it out. Because you know I love writing like little picture books and stuff.
Yes.
So I was like, it's very similar, it seems. So I've been writing country songs. We have one finished.
And it's really good.
It's actually, like, not bad. That's the thing that kills me. I'm
like, it's like, no, Christian was like, this is really good. And Christian's like, he'll tell you.
No, he would roast me if I needed
it. Oh, he would roast you. Me, he's, like, scary to show yourself to you because he'd be like, Gracie.
Yeah, I'd say stop.
I know.
But, yeah, it's been, like, every new thing I try, it's just really fun. And sometimes I'm awful and sometimes I'm good.
You never know what's going to hit. You write great children's books, truly. Yeah. And this is one thing I love about you is, like, you've tried to get them published and it hasn't happened yet, but that hasn't stopped you from writing them.
Yeah.
And but I love that because so many people, it's like they stop whenever, like, the door doesn't open.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, don't stop because, like, these are actually really good. And one day the door might open and then look at, like, all the books you're going to have. And then you've, you write TV shows that are really fun. And, like, my mom's producing shows now. So Grace has been able to share a lot of those with my mom, which have been, like, super fun. And they're actually, like, legitimately working on one.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
It's exciting. It's fun.
It's so exciting. And not to mention, she's literally, like, on the verge of going pro in pickleball.
Okay, that's my wish. Like, I wish you can write that on my forehead. I am trying. I would say that's my goal.
But it's actually doable for you. Like, you're actually working really hard.
I'm legitimately trying. And I feel like, okay, I play at the gym with a lot of people who play all the time. And in my head, I'm like, you want to go pro. Like, to these people, I'm like, just tell it. Like, I think sometimes we don't say it out loud because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And if you say it, you think maybe, like, you'll be less disappointed if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be the same amount of disappointed if it happens and people know or not.
That's true.
So, yeah, I'm not pro in pickleball, but, like, that is my goal.
That I cannot wait. That I'm so glad we said this, like, on recording because one day when your country song's out and you're a pro pickleball player and all these things, like, we're going to be like, that is crazy. But the thing that I love about it is it's not wishful thinking. It's something that you work towards in all these things. Like, you legitimately have been, like, training in pickleball. You legitimately have been writing songs with actual writers and musicians and, like, going there. You have pitched your books to publishers. You have gotten in contact with people like my mom to pitch your shows. Like, you're actively working.
Yeah.
And we talk about this a lot when people ask about the waiting seasons. And I always say, like, you should be working in the waiting. Like, waiting does not look like it does in a waiting room for a doctor's office. Because if that's what it looks like for you and you're legitimately just waiting, that's where you'll get frustrated. That's where the anger comes, the anxiousness comes, because sitting and waiting and feeling out of control of, like, the timing of what's gonna happen can just feel, like, really frustrating. And that's why waiting rooms are frustrating. But waiting in the sense of, like, waiting for, you know, the thing that you're gonna do in your life, or waiting for some of these big answers in your life, waiting for your husband.
Yeah.
It's actually not just, like, sitting still.
Yeah.
It's working with God. It's I think Sweet Cece's, like, in a lot of ways trained you for your work at the milkshake
100%.
Bar. You know?
Yeah.
Writing the books have trained you to be able to write these songs.
Yeah.
All the practice in pickleball is gonna train you for actually one day whenever if you go pro, you're not just gonna, like, be pro and be like, oh, I have no skill. Like, you have skills to back it up.
Yeah.
So working in the way, not sitting. And I mentioned about waiting for your husband, and you are single.
I am single. Shout out. There's no ring.
There's no ring. Yeah. That's the best news. Some of these guys listening to this podcast have heard this whole podcast. Check out Gracie. Don't go to the Moche Bar and stalk her though, because it has happened. But your catch, like, you really are. But what I love about you is, like, you, and I'm not saying that singleness hasn't been hard in some sense and that you don't desire to have a husband, but you have found, like, a really cool contentment in it from afar and as your friend that I can see. And so talk to the people who are in the season of waiting for their husband and singleness, and what have you learned from your singleness?
I like what you said about waiting. That's cool. I always think of waiting, like, this image helps me. Like, okay, if I'm waiting for my car, like, to take me somewhere, like on a trip, I'm gonna have my bags packed. You know what I mean? Like, I have everything I need to go on an awesome adventure. Like, I'm gonna have stuff ready to go. And so that's why I think, like, waiting with all these, like, different ideas, I'm like, okay, I'm waiting. There's some things I cannot control in life, but I can have my stuff ready, you know?
It's good.
It just helps me think. I'm like, okay, I'm ready for the
trip.
You
have your stuff. You know? Yes, that's so good, because that's the thing. If you're just waiting around, then you're not ready when God says go, or hello, here it is. Here's the opportunity. And then you're like, let me get my stuff real fast. Like, let me get all together. And you feel like rushed and chaotic. And, like, then you don't feel qualified. You don't feel, like, confidence. But if you've been working in the way, if you've been packing your bags, you're like, oh, I'm ready to go. Book my ticket. I got my bags ready. That's such a good analogy.
Yeah, it just helps me. But with being single, so pretty much I've been single for my whole life, pretty much. Which it has never really been a thing to me where I thought like, oh yeah, I really want to be with somebody. Until maybe like the past couple months, and especially honestly, like 2 weeks before you guys asked me to come do this podcast on rocking your singleness.
Wow.
I was feeling so attacked by the enemy, literally just thinking like thoughts that I think everybody can have, but that I hadn't had before.
Hmm.
Where like just kind of like the little whisper of that, and like you're never really gonna find somebody. Wow. Or like people won't like you because you're this, that, or the other, which is hard to like feel those feelings because you know that they're not true. Mm-hmm. But I think it was a really special insight of like, man, like there are people out there who feel like nobody's gonna love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually just not true. Yeah. And so just to even keep pushing forward in that and like mm-hmm. keep seeking truth and like surround yourself with people who will refresh you and like tell you the truth. Cause mm-hmm. I got like, I call it getting funky. I'm like, I just feel like off a little mm-hmm. bit. And I cried telling my sister, I'm like, I feel like no one's gonna like me. And just saying it out loud kind mm-hmm. of like took all the weight off.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, Gracie, that's wrong and not true.
Mm-hmm.
And I even think being single, that is gonna be an attack that comes
mm-hmm.
because if you think about it, like, what is the thing that everybody wants the most in life? I think it's to be loved. And what are you as a child of God? Like, at the very core, you're loved.
Yeah.
And so the attack of no one's going to love you when you're the most loved person on the whole earth is going to come.
Yeah.
And I think it's like
it's true.
Almost an easy jab when you're single.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so true. It's an easy jab from the enemy because what culture has like pushed in our face is what love is like just a romantic love.
Yeah.
But love is so much greater than that. And not only are you like loved by the God of the universe who
mm-hmm.
loves you beyond what you could even imagine, like no height nor depth nor angel nor demon nor anything past or present can separate you from the love of God. It says that in Romans. So it's like this wild, unimaginable love that God has for you. But not only are you loved by God, but then also in friendship and in sisterhood and in your family, like you're loved by so many. And
mm-hmm.
that's for everybody out there. Like there are so many people that love you, but if you get so fixated on like a relationship love and it's like, well, I don't have that love, then don't miss like all the love that you do have in your life. And I love that you said that about speaking truth, because the enemy is going to lie. Like you're going to have those thoughts, and that's in singleness or just whatever you're in. It's like those short jabs, and it's the things that like look true, you know. It's not like, he's sneaky, like it says in Genesis 3, he's more crafty than any other beast in the field, and he makes it look true. But it's those things that you have to say, even though this looks true,
mm-hmm.
even though this might feel true, even though I don't have a ring on my finger, I am single, because I actually know truth and I'm rooted in truth, those things are obvious lies.
Yeah.
And so that's why having the foundation of the truth of God's word is so impactful, because it goes beyond your feelings. It goes beyond what it looks like, what it seems like, what it feels like. It stands on a solid ground of actual truth. And that's crazy, because whenever we thought about who rocks singleness, I was like, Gracie. And so no shock that the enemy would come at you with some of those lies. But do you think that like all the things that you're doing as far as the goals that you're setting for yourself, the bucket list, has helped you stay more content in the singleness?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it has. Because also, I try to have this perspective of, okay, it's my singleness, but let's move past that. It's my life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, this is my life. I only get one life. I only get this day one time. Like, do I want to be in a good mood and have fun? Or do I want to wish for something that it's not time yet?
Because
also, like, God has genuinely been to all of my tomorrows. Like, he has good things planned for us. And I, like, they're set out on the path of my life that I don't know where I'm going, but I know that he has good things.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to be right on time.
Yeah.
Because he's never been late yet for anybody ever.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to start with me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's really helped because I'm trying to, like, just have fun where I am
mm-hmm.
and be where I am.
Yeah.
Like, just because I'm single doesn't mean my life is bad or over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's still exciting. And yeah, I'm single, but I'm not, I don't have a disease. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a bad thing to have.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, if I was with somebody, I probably wouldn't have time to like
If you were listening, you would be writing these country songs, cranking out these, all these things. Like, it truly is such a great time of your life. I love how you said that. It's not my singleness. It's my life. Like, don't miss this huge part of your life. Yeah. And I love what you said earlier. Like, why do we all act like we're going to live till 80? Like, who said that?
Yeah.
Who made that promise to you? Like, this is your life. These are your days. This is what has been handed to you. And so, like, owning where you're at is just so important. I love what you said, too. Like, God has never been late for anyone ever. And he's not going to start with you. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's just not.
Yeah.
He's so good. And gosh, that's just such a great perspective. I love that so much. I feel like that little part of this podcast is going to stick with people. And for those listening who have been fed this lie or this, they've just been reminding themselves about their singleness and almost feeling like it is a disease. I got to get this fixed.
Yeah.
Like, man, it's not a bad thing. Like, rest in the season that you're in. Mm. Notice the goodness all around you with what God has for you now. Like, what is he doing in you? Who has he created you to be? That's one thing that's so fun about Gracie is like she is fully and not fully will always be on the journey of this but she's fully discovering who she is, and because of that she has found hundreds of gifts and talents and fun things about her that make her her. And I remember just being single and like not being comfortable just like sitting with me until I got to know me, and I was like, oh, I
That's
like
good.
Me like I like who God created me to be. And I discovered things about me, like whenever I was you know, not married, I might have been dating people but just not married, so more single in our house. The books that I was reading, the ways that I was studying, the things that I was like diving into, I don't have time to study like that anymore. But like, I discovered this side of me that just like loved to learn about the word, that loved to learn about God. We played so much basketball. Like, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
We played all kinds of games and card games and hung out and danced and learned new dances. Not even TikToks, just like dances. We just make them up. Like, just silly stuff. And like, those are the things that like God made you that way. And to discover that in this time of your life is so awesome. And for those of you who are married, maybe a little bit down the road, maybe you're in your 30s and your 40s or maybe even older, like, it's not too late to take the time to get to know who God created you to be and tap into all those gifts that God has. Make a bucket list, you know, make a bucket list of the wildest dreams that you have and even the smallest, and don't just make it with wishful thinking, actually work towards them. So Gracie, you have given us so much good advice by your life. I love people like you who, yes, what you're saying is impactful, but it's the way that you're living that has like so much impact if you stop and like listen and learn. And so I hope that Gracie's life has inspired you as much as it inspires me. And I hope you go out and have a great week starting on some of those bucket list things, throwing some seeds and waiting for the flowers. But I hope you had a great time on the podcast, Gracie, and being your first podcast, because you rocked it. Another thing that you
this
just...
this was fun. I felt like we're just hanging out.
We are hanging out with a couple of mics and a couple of cameras. It's just a fun hang.
Yeah.
Well, we love you guys and hope that you all have a great week.